Right, Zoe, welcome to the John Covey podcast, episode 48. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
Fantastic. Zoe, before we get into the questions, let's find out a little bit about yourself.
What would you like to know?
Tell us what you do, who you are, what you do.
So, I run a business called Fab Events, which is an event management business, kind of offering two types of services, either project management and taking the event off the my client's hands, giving them time back in their business, or doing a little bit of the hand-holding approach.
Sure.
Someone who's done an event for the first time, that works really well. And just offering that support and guidance and on a more consultant basis.
Fabulous.
Giving them money back more in their business.
Yes.
So, catch 22.
Of course. Good stuff. Why Fab? What's behind the name?
Fab stands for all budgets.
All budgets.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So my background is event management for several group chains within the UK for hotels. And it came apparent to me whilst I was doing that job that if you wanted an event planner or a wedding planner, then they would literally just put the pound signs at the end of the check.
Oh, really?
And I didn't feel that was very ethical. I wanted a business to appeal to everybody's budget because I truly believe that any event can be created on any budget. So depending on the services that you require, that's how it kind of fits to your budget, to whether you need somebody to take it completely off your hands, which is the more time-consuming kind of product and service I offer, or whether you want to just kind of do it yourself but just have a bit of support and guidance. So there's not many people out there that offer the both.
Okay.
Both services, so I thought that would appeal
really good
to a wider audience.
Fantastic. So for all budgets, Fab, what a great name.
Yeah.
So it says, does it do what it says on the tin?
I believe it does, yeah.
Your customers seem to say, so it says here that your clients describe you as the event fairy godmother with a heart of gold.
Yeah.
Or the go-to lady to get things done when it comes to any event requirement.
Yeah.
So that's certainly saying Fab to me.
Yeah.
So your background, you were saying then, so like 5 years with Hilton.
Yeah.
4 years with BizSpace. You've worked with the Hilton Group, Q Hotels, BizSpace, JD Witherspoons. Lots of experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you transition from working for the corporate world into like where you are now?
I think I transitioned through the BizSpace employer. Their business model is very much they support startup businesses and they give you that freedom to kind of do what you wish to pursue in life. Uh-huh. They very much have got a work-life balance. And I was very corporate before joining BizSpace with being at the other hotel groups. So that kind of made me enjoy the more lifestyle brand. And really kind of make me want to launch my own business.
Sure.
And put kind of a dream that I've had for a long time in owning my own events company to life, really.
Okay.
And they supported that and helped me do that transition.
Wow.
And so, yeah, that's why Fab Events was born, really.
Really?
Through the contacts I made through
BizSpace. So how was BizSpace knowing? Did they know all along that this is a process?
My line manager did. I operated it as a part-time business to start with on evenings and weekends, so it didn't interfere with my full-time employment. And we was always at the agreement that when it got to that stage to go full time, then it would be up to me to make that decision.
Sure.
So I decided to make that decision at the beginning of this year, 2019.
Yep.
Leaving BizSpace at the end of March 2019, and from the 1st of April, Fab Events was born full time.
Right. Okay. So you've now been running your business, Zoe, for a little over a month.
Yep.
After handing in your notice to fly solo.
Yeah.
You know, how's that month been?
It's been challenging.
Yeah.
It's been very busy. I didn't think I would be as busy, but I suppose that's my pessimistic side coming through. I've always got, well, both sides of the brain, so to speak. Mm. So yeah, it's been a lot busier and a lot more productive than I was expecting for the first month in business,
sure.
But all positive and all going in the right direction.
Amazing. So how long was you running Fab Events alongside of your job before you kind of called time
around
out?
18 months to 2 years on a part-time basis.
Right.
It didn't really develop to a part-time business until the end of 2016.
Right.
In terms of kind of paid work, it was more just about kind of getting exposure out there to
sure.
start with.
Sure.
So I've just built that up gradually over the past 18 months as a part-time business.
Uh-huh.
And to be fair to BizSpace, we had an open and honest conversation that I wanted to push and pursue Fab Events more, so decided to step away.
Marvellous,
so
marvellous.
Yeah, it seems to be going well so far.
Fantastic. So how much notice did you have to serve, by the way?
2 months.
So 2 months notice.
Yeah.
So that's like 8 weeks of pressure, excitement,
yeah.
being a bit scared, nervous. How did you kind of cope with that? What did you do?
I kind of enjoy the pressure.
Yes.
I think that's the reason why I'm good at what I do in terms
uh-huh.
of event management. I don't tend to get stressed over busy schedules or work schedules and workloads increasing. I kind of enjoy that. I thrive off that.
Sure.
So yeah, I found it quite exciting, very enjoyable.
Sure.
The last 2 months with BizSpace, because I was busy at both ends.
Got
I was you. Busy training the new manager up, converting the sales for BizSpace, as my loyalty is obviously still to that business and that brand until I leave, and then also getting the appointments in for April
going forward
full time. So.
Really good stuff.
Yeah.
So scary, nervous, pressure. You like it all?
Yeah.
Pushes you on.
It does, yeah.
It drives you on. So what does scare you? Like, you're in business now for yourself. What scares you?
I suppose the future scares me to a certain degree, because it is new,
yeah.
Full-time self-employment. But I do enjoy that as well,
sure.
not knowing what's coming next
uh-huh.
and having the freedom to kind of create my own future.
Yeah.
That excites me more, so it weighs out all the,
sure.
the scared elements.
So you're saying that as long as you feel like you've got something to fight towards and push
yeah.
towards, the excitement outweighs the fear, would you say?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So what's the kind of exciting thing that's going to happen for you this year then? What do you really want to make happen?
I'm really looking forward to the events that I've got on towards the end of the year, some really nice large scale projects. The client, the enjoyment I get for my clients is creating them an event from an idea that they give me.
Sure.
And all four events towards the end of the year, the large scale ones, all kind of are from that base.
Got you.
From an idea, and it's kind of like you see with the acorn, it becomes the tree, so to speak.
Yes.
So I really like that analogy, and in terms of that's how I see the events in terms of how they grow and to what they can be.
Brilliant.
From what they start off with. And then you're seeing where that takes me for the following year.
Really? Fantastic.
So, yeah.
So this is your first time at business for yourself? You've always been employed? You've never
always
done anything?
Always been employed, yes, since leaving university, through
really?
School. I've always been
How
employed.
How long ago was that?
Yeah, a while ago. Yeah, graduated 11 years ago this June.
Right.
So 2008.
So if you're good with numbers, you're better to work out how old Zoe is.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask. So then, I mean, did you know, like, even in university, did you know then that you got this entrepreneurial side, that you wanted to run your own business back then, or?
Not really. It's been my family that's... I've always had the pessimistic side, and I would definitely say when I was younger, I had more of that than the positive side. And I would say I probably have more the positive side in the personality now, more of the entrepreneurial side,
yes.
Many people would call it, rather than the pessimistic
really?
Side. But
so
it's always there slightly.
What changed then?
My family just pushing me to do better.
Right.
I was the person that didn't want to go to university. My friends at college made me put my hand up. I was the person that didn't want to do placement. I wanted to do university, get in and get out. My family and my friends convinced me to do the placement
right.
and to push my confidence barrier, because I was quite shy in the first year of uni.
Okay.
And I've always wanted to work in New York, and luckily a placement came up in New York and I was successful enough to get that.
Fantastic.
And that really is what kind of gave me the passion for events.
Amazing.
And set off, I would say, my career in events from working overseas. And I came back, changed my whole vocation at university, changed it from a diploma to a degree.
Uh-huh.
Kind of gave me that kind of hunger in the belly, so to speak.
Really?
And then, the rest is history, so to speak, and always wanted to work within the event sector from there.
Really, that's fantastic. So you went to New York. How long was you there?
13 months.
13 months. What did you learn over there? Was that the start of the hunger, do you think?
It was, definitely. I used to work anything from 90 to 110 hours a week.
90 to 110
hours. Yeah, so my resilience with hours, it was born from there. The winters were always quieter, the summers were always peak season.
Sure.
I worked at the Engineers Country Club,
right.
Rosland Harbour, Long Island.
Uh-huh.
And I was their kind of assistant, event assistant, starting at the base level, worked my way up to supervisor level before I left, and was looking after the higher end events and the clients.
Really?
Anything from a $250,000 budget event
to
A members brunch,
really, right.
Where it was a free event and everyone was invited and involved because they paid yearly subscriptions to be a part of that.
Fantastic.
Facility. So it was anything from movie directors to those that are successful on Wall Street in New York. It was a very mixed bag,
really,
of clientele, but still very high end.
So, I mean, what a great learning experience for yourself then.
Yeah,
as well.
I loved it.
So would you say that really develop your confidence?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, before going to New York, I didn't have much confidence. I think anybody who knows me knows that. And the difference my friends and family saw in me when I came back, they just said I was like a different person.
Really? So why do you think that is then? What do you think that made your confidence grow? Was it the fact that, like, what you're saying there is you definitely became a lot more valuable to the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is something I talk to people about a lot is, you know, don't focus necessarily on how much money you can earn. Focus on how much value you can bring to other people, and the money will follow.
Yeah.
Do you think that by you becoming more valuable to the marketplace ultimately made you more confident in yourself?
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, I was a very pessimistic person before I went and didn't really believe kind of the praise that I would receive.
Okay.
And working within that type of environment, you're with people day in, day out. You see them more than you see, well, at that point, my family.
Sure.
I didn't see them for a full 13 months. They did become your family.
Sure.
And if everyone's singing from the same hymn sheet, you tend to start to believe it.
So you start modelling other people there as well.
Yeah, and just, I got a really good rapport with everybody that I worked with, got really nice feedback. Again, I never thought university was in my path because I'm more practical than theory.
Sure.
And the marks that I got back from university for that placement year are the highest that I've ever received.
Really?
I've received 99%.
That's incredible.
And I never ever thought that I would be able to achieve that. And at the end of it, I remember my tutor saying to me, she's like, I don't understand why you're doing travel and tourism.
Right, right.
When it's obviously that event management is your vocation,
is more suited.
And she's the one that pushed me to change my my qualifications.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely, I think it gave me the tools and gave me the trust in my values.
Sure.
to put into my own.
Incredible, what a journey.
Business.
Yeah, what a journey.
Yeah.
So how long ago was that?
So I went to New York in 2006, came back in 2007.
Right, okay. So,
left.
So what's that? So it's 10, 12 years ago?
12 years ago. I went to university in 2005, so it was a year after, and then I came back the following year.
Really?
Just a bit longer.
So you came back, and that's when you went into Hilton?
I came back and I was with the Wetherspoons group, to support me throughout university, and then I went into the Hilton group shortly after graduating university, at the cluster office.
Right.
In
so
Linz.
Lots of heritage there.
Yeah.
Lots of experience to glean from all the different places there.
Yeah, definitely.
Seemingly juggernauts, I suppose, in their industry.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that, applying all this kind of stuff to yourself, what do you think has been the most challenging thing so far? Because, like, your business is new in the sense that you've been doing it full time for a little over a month, but in terms of doing it, it's probably, like you said, 2.5 years old as a company.
Yeah.
Like, what's been the kind of, what's been the best part? Let's start there. What's been the best part of that 2.5 year journey?
I'd say the best part is the growth that I've seen from being, and never when I first started Fab Events, my pessimistic side coming through again, never thought it could grow legs to be a full-time business. I always, when I first started Fab Events, thought it would be quite a hobby, a paid hobby. And it wasn't until I actually started projecting myself as a business owner,
sure,
and actually believing in myself and a little bit of confidence from what I learnt back that it actually showed me what legs it can have, and that it's only really the tip of the iceberg that it's achieved so far.
Good.
And I've always got the vision as long as it grows per year, I'm happy, whatever that growth may be.
Sure. So over the last 2 and a bit years, what's been the kind of, what's been a blow for you? What's been a real devastating blow, or something that's really kind of disappointed you?
I wouldn't say a devastating blow, so to speak, in terms of business, but personal, I've had to overcome a lot. I've had people in the family pass away that I was very close to, my dad being one. And he was always, I suppose, the person who pushed me more. He was the one that told, with my family, the one that told me that I could do it. So it's been more, I would say, personal than professional, as I very much see it still as startup fab events,
sure,
but I suppose I don't see it as startup for long.
As the
first vision I had for the business, I don't see it as just being startup for long. I see it growing and being hopefully a medium to small size business in the very near future.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about you coming out of full time employment and now coming into, you know, this scary space. Yeah. You're doing it for yourself. How did you prepare yourself for that? Like, financially, did you have a nest egg behind you, a bit of a war chest, or?
So everything that I've earned through part time fab events has all gone into savings,
really,
to ensure that I project the business in the best way.
Got you.
Ensure that the insurance is correct, the T's and C's are correct.
Sure.
I have the correct website, and that I've just projected myself as the full time business that I want to be. It's been to go from that mindset as an employer to
work for myself in
a self-employed environment has been challenging,
of course, because you've got commitments as well. I mean, like, literally a few years ago you bought your own house.
So
you've not just come out of a paid gig into, you know, well, it's fine, you know, I've not really got major commitments. You've actually got a house and you've got commitments and things to meet as well. So, I mean, was there a strategy that you used? So
I've always forward planning in terms of finance. I've always supported myself just because I've never had that funding or backing behind me.
Got you.
So it's all have to, and with New York to now, it's all been self-funded.
Sure.
So I've always had it in my mind of the figure that I wanted to achieve before I went full-time self-employed, and I achieved that in January.
Got you.
So with the conversation I had with my line manager around that time, worked quite well.
Sure.
And that's the reason why I decided to give notice that point.
Right.
I suppose I was a little bit hesitant, but again, my brother and my family were like, no, you can do it.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we'll support you emotionally as much as we can, and help in any way. It's all positive.
Of course. So would you, like, if you were to advise somebody else just looking at starting out into the business world for themselves, coming from a job, coming from a commitment level where they've got whether rent, mortgages, children, maybe whatever it may be, how many months behind them in kind of coverage would you advise somebody, knowing what you've just done yourself?
Yeah. Well, I'm covered for 12 months.
Right.
But some circumstances might not be able to do that.
Sure.
I would say a minimum of 6 months to 12 months, just have yourself covered and try and get the business in forward planning.
Sure.
So for example, for me, I forward planned for the end of the year because I knew for definite that I would be full-time self-employed by that point.
Got you.
The decision factor for me was I wasn't expecting to pick up a particular type of business at the end of 2018.
Got you.
And because I picked that business up, I was able then to make that decision to leave sooner than I forecast to. So I think as long as you have a plan and you know what your goal is, you can work back from that.
Great advice.
And that's what I did.
Sure.
I knew the figure that I needed. I knew my outgoings. I knew my variable.
Yeah. So you really, really kind of planned thoroughly as well.
Yeah,
not just rough, but
no. So I think it was very rough planning to start with.
Of course.
But I think when you want to be taken seriously in business, you do have to kind of put pen to paper and kind of get a bit of strategy in place. So I knew the end figure that I needed to be.
Sure.
but it would just happened earlier than I was anticipating,
yeah.
Which is positive.
Yeah, totally. So, do you think that you being in a position where you've got 12 months burn in the bank has allowed that first month to work differently? Do you know, if let's just say that you didn't have that 12 month behind you, would you have done things differently in month one to what you've done?
I don't think so, because I feel like I networked as much as I could, I made as much appointments as I could with potential prospects that I'd inquired earlier in the year. So I don't think I would have worked any differently, but definitely in terms of monetary, it would have been a lot different.
Sure.
Because the cushion that I've created is without disposable income.
Yeah.
So my disposable income is really uncapped,
okay.
But I knew what I had from an employment point of
sure.
view when I was as the employer.
Yep.
So that's always in my mind, to try and get that cushion.
Of course.
And try and not be disheartened if I don't get that cushion straight away,
of
which
course.
I didn't for the first month.
Yep.
But for the second month, I'm looking to get that cushion.
Good, good.
For the third month, it may drop. Who knows?
Right.
It all depends on payments and what comes in. But I know that I'm covered for the roof over my head's covered
for
the next
year.
Yeah. And that was my main priority, because I worked very hard to get that house.
Of course.
Definitely since my dad passed away, that was my kind of focus. And
sure.
I've always got kind of a goal, and my next goal, obviously, and focus is Fab Events now.
Fab Events. Amazing.
So,
absolutely
yeah.
fantastic. So now into month two,
mm-hmm.
new goals. New opportunities are coming to you all the time.
Yeah.
As any, I mean, I know it's very early on just yet, so you're only like a month, just over a month into this.
Yeah.
Has anything happened in that month so far, or are you thinking, oh God, maybe I should get a job?
No.
No, not at all?
No. I'm more than happy to keep going as I am.
Yeah.
See, I would rather be available to every opportunity than limit myself to not be, to start.
Yeah.
It may be that next year I would look to a part-time employment just to have that cushion again. But if things go the way they are, then I shouldn't need that, because
sure.
everything's kind of going in the right direction
of
at
course.
The moment. Because what I did realise with putting my notice in and saying to my current kind of network, I'm now going self-employed full-time, is in that one meeting, five people put their hand up and I converted four out of the five.
Into work,
because
right.
I'd built that relationship
mm-hmm.
over the past 2 years, but
sure.
they all said to me, every single one, the reason we've not come to you before, Zoe, is because we didn't think you could fully commit.
Oh, really?
And
that's
I didn't realise that I was having that impression.
Wow.
Over the event side of the business.
Wow, that's incredible.
So that was good market research for me into, actually what people were thinking by doing both. So I think by doing both, what I did is good
mm-hmm.
for a certain period of time, but I do think you have to make that cut. So 12 month is what I felt comfortable with, but I would say as long as you've got 6 months
behind you,
you should be more
start,
than comfortable.
Yeah, fantastic, good. So I mean, like the thing what's really interesting, what you just said then, what I find interesting is that you said that if next year comes along and it's not quite there, you'd be more than happy to take a part-time gig.
Yeah.
To make sure that you still can make ends meet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fantastic, because there's so many people would look at that as a failure.
No.
Whereas you just see it's just part of the journey. You know, like
yeah.
you're very clear what you want to do. You're very clear how it's going to be, and you're prepared to do whatever it takes to get there.
Yeah. I am looking to potentially launch a second business next year that will potentially then fund Fab Events.
Oh, really?
For Fab Events to grow. So that's why I know that if I come to that point and I need to get a part-time...
Sure.
Gig to support that
sure.
venture, because I do think that will help Fab Events
now
grow.
This sounds exciting. Can we get a sneak peek of this new venture now?
No.
Oh.
Well, it's an idea that I've been working on for a while. I had this idea before Fab Events was launched.
Okay.
Due to certain areas I kept finding on competitor analysis for employers, that they tend to do a lot in terms of mystery shops. They do a lot with external data, but they don't have anything, a product really, that combines the both.
Okay.
I feel, compared to what I've experienced and what I've seen in the market, that there should be a product there that offers both training and support, but also analysis.
Got you.
It'll be more on the consultant side,
mm-hmm.
And it will apply more to the hospitality and event industry. But if that expands and grows legs to different industry, only time will tell. So it's just, an idea that I've had for a while that I'm just confirming up and making sure it has got legs,
so to speak,
to run with at the moment. Really? So, all being well, that will happen.
Sure.
And if it does, that should be towards the end of this year or beginning of next.
So that will complement Fab Events, though? What's
the
that?
Work alongside.
Sure.
It might be that the events side of the business comes underneath the consultant side.
Uh-huh.
Or it might be that I operate them as two separate identities. But we'll see.
Sure. Fantastic. Oh, that's exciting as well.
Yeah.
So you like pressure.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it because I never thought that the idea that I had
could come into
from
fruition,
2000,
yeah,
say 2011, would have any life in it.
Yeah.
Until speaking to the people. Right people in the network with the idea.
Mm.
And the majority of my network do say, why haven't you done it yet?
Oh, really?
And a lot of people said that with Fab.
Really? So, here's a question now. So, in terms of the people that you spoke to when you were building Fab, ready to come out of work to start really building this, was there many people who throughout that journey said, you know, as soon as you're ready, we'll support you, we'll help you, we'll book you? How many of them actually went on and booked, and how many of them just faded and disappeared?
A lot of people did say, oh, we'll keep your details on file, we'd like to support your business because we've been a startup, we've been in that same boat. No one as of yet saying that has kind of converted into a booking.
Right.
But in terms of the networking side and the network that I've built up, I would say 80 to 90% of the business that I have currently comes from that network, comes from them booking me and having that trust in me, and then also booking me again for the second or their third event.
Right, got you.
So there's a lot of retention with the networking side of the business. But for example, customers at BizSpace would say, let's keep in touch.
Of course.
We'd like to support the business if we can.
If we can, yeah.
If we can. That side hasn't converted yet, but I'm still keeping in touch with them to see if
just
that would happen in the future.
Good. So that leads on to the next part then, which is a lot lead generation, creating opportunities. So how's that working for you at the minute? You know, because you know yourself, you're one person at the minute.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got to do your marketing, you've got to do your sales, you've got to do the admin, you've got to do the actual doing.
Yeah.
You know, so how are you finding time, and what is it that you do at the minute to generate business?
Because market research, looking at my bookings and my clients at the moment, a lot come from networking. I'm kind of solely focused on that at the moment, because that's where I can see the return on investment. I think I worked it out. I'm part of the Four Networking group, and I've worked out over the time that I've been with that organisation and the amount of business it's created me. Every meeting's generated around £250 worth of business.
Okay.
Now, that's not come from every meeting.
Sure.
It's come from the amount of business over the time that I've been with them. So that kind of measure on investment is worth my time. So I'm kind of focusing on the networking side of how to really market it. And then I'm doing more on social media, more interaction for lead generation, and also referral base.
Right, okay.
I'm getting in contact with my kind of database again and just reminding that, hey, I've gone self-employed, can we meet for a coffee and discuss any event requirements that they may have? Because the word that we're not meant to say yet is going to fast approach. Mr. Santa's going to be here with his hat on. And a lot of people don't want to consider that. They think it's way too early. But I know, being in the industry, that it's the best time to book. If you've got a large party of 300 employees, you need to book before me to get that discount.
Because if not,
that demand's there for that venue and they won't offer that
going
forward. So there's things that I know that I can kind of add value back to my client database and just remind them of that and just see if we can have a chat over tea and coffee.
Brilliant. So like, in terms of networking, how much networking are you doing at the moment?
I try to do probably around 2 to 3 meetings a week.
2 to 3 a week?
Yeah.
Okay.
I find if I do a full week of networking, I'm not very productive within the business.
Sure.
I've learned that by my mistakes. I used to network 5 times a week.
You used to network 5 times a week?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a title somewhere there. Is it a networking tart? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, I've been called a networking whore before.
A networking whore.
And that, when someone said that, I was like,
do I like it?
And they literally just went, yeah, at every networking event, Zoe. And I thought, that's a good thing, but also maybe a bad thing. I think you can overkill it sometimes. Uh-huh. So I have stepped back on the networking because, again, if I just continue to network, I can't continue to promote
work on
it
the business.
In other areas,
yeah,
or work. Or work in the business,
of course.
Or on it. So yeah, I have scaled it back. Some weeks, like this week, I'll do one meeting.
Uh-huh.
Next week, I've got three scheduled in. So I do try to vary it. So I'm not just continually networking.
Just networking all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm doing it because at the moment it is what is generating the leads. So
of course, it is
a benefit.
Of course, makes total sense. So, in terms of your mindset,
mm-hmm.
from going again, just like if we just kind of dial back a little bit and look at that there and think, right, so your mindset's gone from having some kind of normality,
yeah.
to having a fixed salary,
yeah.
to knowing pretty much what's going to come each month,
yeah.
to now being in complete control,
mm-hmm.
where it's often easy for you to do the things that's most exciting over the things that need to be done.
Yeah.
How do you manage that?
I do time management a lot and diary mm-hmm. plan a lot. It was, I would say, very, not difficult, but different not to receive that set monthly salary on the 27th of April, like I'm used to expecting. I remember speaking to one of my colleagues saying, oh, did we get paid today? And she was like, did we? And uh-huh. I was like, did you get paid today on time because of the bank holidays? And yeah, it was difficult to know that wasn't coming in. But
sure.
then I just went back to actually basics and looked at my plan and thought, well, no, that money is there. You just transfer it over. Just make sure you're not putting more in than you should.
Sure.
Got to kind of be very strict with yourself and sure. know the positives and what you have created in your first month of business to what you haven't created.
Of course.
So yeah, it is just all about mindset.
Yeah, yeah.
And not getting disheartened.
What's your mindset been like generally? Do you know, are you naturally, I know you were saying like pessimistic mm-hmm. and things like that as well, but would you say that you generally are quite positive as a person?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or do you complain and moan a little bit?
No, I'm very positive. I would say definitely from, I came out of New York a different person. Everyone who knows me for a long time would have said that. It allow me to be happy again. It put me back into being what I am, which is a very positive person with a positive outlook on life, thinking the best of everything.
Uh-huh.
Every negative, there's always a positive, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's kind of going back to really my beliefs and what I'm about, really, and just
Good.
Reminding myself of that.
Good.
And not to get disheartened and just... Remember that it is only 7 weeks in a full-time self-employed business,
totally.
And a lot of people don't make one single dime in their first month of business.
2 years for some.
And I'm very fortunate that I've actually made something.
Money. Yeah, good. So what, Ali, like you just said then, reminding yourself to stay positive and hopeful. And like, so what are you doing to do that? Do you have a ritual? Is there certain things that you do? Is there certain structure to your day?
I have a kindness book.
Uh-huh.
I try to write down one act of kindness a day that I've done, just to remind myself that it's been a positive day. There's always a positive out of a bad day.
Sure.
I make sure that if I'm not got an appointment early in the morning or networking, I'm going to the gym, so I'm out of the house early. Because exercise does help with, it does help with me anyway, with
sure.
positive and mental health. I'm just ensuring that I'm being productive and I'm planning in advance, so I am motivated to get out of bed, that there is something to get out of bed for.
Oh.
So I literally just diary management, putting exercise back into kind of the lifestyle and using my gratitude/kindness book.
Good, that's amazing. So, like, I mean, I'm big on gratitude and
mm-hmm.
all that kind of journaling. I think it's so vital
to
be able to understand more about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you've talked quite a few times here today about... planning ahead and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, time management and things like that as well. What kind of, is there a certain system that you use? How do you do that?
I just have a notebook And I just write it down. I've had a notebook since I can remember. I used to call it a bucket list for personal, but for business, I just literally write down what I'd like to achieve.
Sure. For the day or the week, the month?
It depends. I have kind of three steps alongside each kind of goal for the business. So, for example, with the consultant side potentially being launched, that's probably... The end result of that is probably December 31st. Mm-hmm. But if I wait until December 31st, I've learnt by mistakes, I'll never have it done.
Sure, sure.
So first
step. Interesting. So let me interject then. So yeah. You've learnt from past experiences that if you leave it to chance, it'll not get done.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So how do you make sure that you do it then?
I tick off my to-do list.
So, actually,
I put
so for
a call to action in. Oh, I put something in the diary to ensure that I'm doing what I've said I was going to do.
Got you. So you actually make it real.
Yeah.
So you put it in the diary. What happens when that time comes and you don't feel like doing it? Do you just force yourself?
I make myself do it.
And how do you do that?
I give myself a talk. Because I'm the world's person for cold calling. I don't like it.
Not a lot of people do.
No. Yeah. But you just think, what's the worst they could say? No.
Exactly.
If they say no, they say no.
That's
fine.
All it is, yes.
I'm polite enough, I'll not be it. I'm sure I won't be rude, so you just kind of got to take bull by horns and give them a call. And
so what have you found with cold calling then, once you've actually picked the phone up? And
it's less scary.
Yeah.
It's still not my favourite task.
Sure.
And I'm sure potentially that it'll never be my favourite task. And hopefully I'll be able to employ a member of staff in the future to do that for me and me help and support them. But it's a lot scarier when you're on the phone than before you get on the call, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So if you keep putting off and putting off, it becomes bigger.
Yes.
If you actually just deal with it there and then.
It becomes easier.
Yeah.
Sure.
From being in Hilton, I've always had a non-urgent and an urgent list.
Okay.
And I've always done the urgent list first,
sure,
and the non-urgent, the following days become onto the urgent list.
Right.
So I've always been very much like, if I don't get six urgent tasks done, like, I've not been a productive.
Oh, right, okay. I interrupted then. What about if the non-urgent stuff is the important things to you, but they're not urgent, so they don't make it to that list? How would you make sure that you still make time for your non-urgent things? What are of important?
If my non-urgent would be, for example, at the moment, I need to buy some
print cartridges,
as daft as it sounds.
Yep.
I've needed to buy them print cartridges since I started Fab Events.
Okay.
I've still not bought them.
Why?
Because they're on my non-urgent list.
Okay.
And I literally said to myself yesterday when I went through my list before planning out for the rest of the week, that needs to go to the top of my urgent list, because without print cartridges, I can't print invoices. I can't print potential correspondence to any customer files.
Sure. Sure.
And I'm just creating myself a backlog.
Okay.
Because when I first made that list, it was classed as non-urgent.
Got you.
So I think it's being mindful and kind of pulling yourself up a bit.
So how do you make sure, what's the kind of trick for you? What gets you in a position where it's like, right, I now have to do this, so it has to become... Do you wait until the printer just stops working?
Pretty much.
Right.
Well,
so you wait
actually,
until it becomes painful?
Yeah. Yeah, with the non-urgent, because I don't see them as critical.
Sure.
But looking at the bigger picture, for example, the pink cartridges, I can't actually do a part of my job.
Got you.
Or I can, but and I'm going to libraries at the moment and getting stuff printed, and it's more time consuming.
Of
I'm
course.
Actually not being productive.
Sure.
So I just really need to buy the pink cartridges, which I'll probably be doing tonight now we've mentioned
yeah.
it.
Good. Well, that's a good result to come out of this podcast
yeah.
today.
Yeah.
Zoe's going to go and buy her cartridges.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's interesting because we all know there's certain things that we should be doing more often. And I think that as people, we talked about this in one of the previous podcasts with Tony that was on, as humans, we're driven by pleasure or pain.
Yeah.
And often we wait until something becomes painful before we find the motivation to do something about
yeah.
it. Clearly, that's the same for yourself with the print cartridges.
Yeah, because it's on the same thing with the print cartridges. I bought a print cartridge, everything worked fine, and then the other colour of the print cartridge ran out, and I went back into the same.
Cycle.
I put it onto the non-urgent to-do list.
Yeah.
So I didn't even learn from my first mistake. I should have just put it at the top because it does delay things. So now I'm going elsewhere to print when I shouldn't need to.
You shouldn't need to. So how much of that kind of behaviour would you... Do you find... spreads into the rest of your life? Do you find that you I think they call it, don't they? Some people, they'll associate this and they'll say that I'm procrastinating.
Yeah.
So do you find that you are a procrastinator in life as well?
No, I think I used to be.
Yeah.
But I think with launching my own business and kind of going back to basics to what I learned overseas, you just can't afford to do that.
Sure.
So yes, I have my non-emergent tasks, and as much as I don't like doing my non-urgent tasks, I always do find time to do with them, because I have a bit of a rule of thumb.
Uh-huh.
Is if something's on my list longer than week, then it's either shouldn't be there or it should.
It's good.
It's me. That's
yep.
It's the problem, not the task.
Sure.
So I'm mindful of that. I've learnt by my mistakes.
Got you.
I used to be the person with time management that didn't leave the office. I could be working for Hilton Group at Hilton Liverpool from 7 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock at night, and mm-hmm. I meant to leave at 3 o'clock,
right?
Because I didn't prioritise my time, and sure. I used to procrastinate on the non-important tasks. Or should I say focus more on the non-important tasks to the important tasks in hand. Now I would say my mindset's completely changed, because it is my own business, and if it doesn't get done, it don't fall on anyone's head other than mine.
Other than yours, yes.
So I think having and launching my own business and having that confidence to do that.
It's sharpened that soul, hasn't it? Yeah.
Sharpened that up,
yeah.
because it has to get done.
Of course. So what's your natural skill? What is it that, like, I believe that we all have something that just comes so natural to us that we don't even have to try. What do you think yours is?
Well, a lot of people say I have the calming effect.
A calming effect, yeah.
So I can come into a situation and diffuse it
mm.
just by being present and kind of being very observative.
Right.
A lot of people can come to me quite frantic, and we can literally just sit down and be like, right, what's wrong? And within 20 minutes, they feel a lot lighter. One, I think because they've shared the problem, but also I've just been, for example, in the gym, stood there, whilst another member came in very quite frantic over something they were doing, and I was just talking to them kind of in the background, and I remember her turning round and just saying, God, you're very calm in you. And I was like, I'll take that as a compliment, Natalie. She went, oh, do.
Yeah.
She's like, I wish I could have you in my life full time.
He's calm.
Like, you just calm me down. So yeah, I would say that comes natural to me.
Sure.
I'm a calming personality.
Good.
But I think that works very hand in hand with
the events totally.
Because if I appeared to be frantic, for example, during an event on the day management, then I've always got that back in my head saying, if I'm frantic, what are they paying me for?
Exactly, no, perfect.
And so that skill
sounds like you've got the perfect vocation.
Yeah, that skill does help. I do help. And I do like to diffuse situations, because I do believe every situation can be defused.
Brilliant. What's the best advice you've ever been given?
Oh, that's a question. I suppose Caroline Andrew Johnson, who's in For Networking, she gave me some great advice about Fab. We sat down and we were having a conversation in a one-to-one, and she literally said to me, so why aren't you doing it?
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, I don't know. And she's like, well, I do, because of you. She says, you're the only person that can do it, Zoe. No one's going to do it for you.
Sure.
So you either want to be a business owner and want to run your own events mm-hmm. company, or
you
don't. And I literally had a very frank conversation with myself within them 10 minutes. And I was like, well, yeah, I do.
Advice.
And she just said, right, so let's get going with a name and a logo. And that's when Fab Events were born. We did a bit of brainstorming.
Great advice.
So yeah, I would say for business, that's been my top advice, and yeah, I've been given great advice by the family. They're always there.
Brilliant, fantastic. And what advice, so somebody that's also going through a transition stage like yourself, who's moving from either being employed to or even just going into business for themselves for the first time, what's the best advice that you'd give them?
I would definitely speak to the right people, get the right support, either speak to someone like yourself or speak to somebody that can put you in touch with organisations such as the Launchpad,
mm-hmm.
has some great tools and tips and advice for startup businesses. Speak to the right accountant, speak to the right business support and advice, and get your business plan, get your plan in place, just so you know when you can do it.
Sure.
And I think as long as you've got that plan and you kind of know
what
where you're
aiming.
Heading,
yeah, yeah,
and what your aim is, then you can do it. Mm-hmm. You just have to put a plan in place to achieve it. So yeah, I'd definitely seek the right advice from the right people and mm-hmm. ask your network
sure.
as well for their recommendations. Don't just go from those that you find on Google.
Of course.
Go from someone who's local, someone who's recommended,
mm-hmm.
And speak to your local chambers and your local organisations like the Launchpad, because they're there to support your business.
Yeah.
They
Brilliant.
Want you to succeed.
Amazing.
Rather than potentially calling someone up over the phone who may...
You don't know
yeah. who may not want you to exceed, may want something for them.
They just want to extract some money from you.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe so.
So
yeah,
definitely go via recommendation.
Great advice. And finally,
mm-hmm.
first of all, in fact, actually, thank you so much for your time.
It's all right.
You know, one of the things, I hope you don't mind me sharing this, one of the things Zoe always said to me when you was coming onto this today, you was like, I'm a bit nervous, I don't like being filmed.
I don't like my own voice.
But I think anyone listening or watching this will say that Zoe's done an amazing job. So well done, firstly.
Thanks.
pressure.
Yeah.
You love it. Secondly, where can people find out more about you and the services that you offer?
So I have a website, which is forallbudgetsevents.co.uk, or I'm on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. So you can search For All Budgets Events on them, or Fab Events. It will come up within your first page. If you wish to give me a like and a follow, and I can reciprocate and
sure.
we can talk going further, or literally just drop me a call.
Fantastic.
More than happy to take any calls, and all contact details are all on them platforms.
Brilliant. Well, what we'll do is we'll also put in the description somewhere, whether you're watching, reading, exploring this particular episode right now, we'll put all the details on there as well. Zoe, thank you so much for your time. It's been a blast.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.